News. I'm Dave Packer. Iran today denying involvement in a plot to assassinate U.S. officials, calling any allegations baseless and rejected. This as federal prosecutors here have charged an Iranian national in a murder-for-hire scheme targeting President-elect Donald Trump. Authorities say the plot was linked to Tehran's paramilitary forces. Subsiding winds helping 2,000 firefighters in Southern California make progress against a wildfire that scorched over 20,000 acres, destroyed over 200 structures since Wednesday. Joey Parrish lost his house in the fire, and he's now sifting through the ashes.
The things that we knew were there, like there was a motorcycle in the garage, no sign of it anywhere. You know, just so many things like that just gone.
For the first time after a devastating fire 5 years ago, the bells of Notre Dame Cathedral were heard throughout Paris again. The landmark is set to reopen to the public next month with a weekend of ceremonies starting December 7th. This is ABC News. Federal agencies are probing mass texts with racist messages sent to Black Americans after the election. And top Democrats are talking about what led to their historic losses this election year. ABC's Rachel Scott.
Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi telling the New York Times that if President Biden had dropped out sooner, quote, there may have been other candidates in the race. The anticipation was that if the president were to step aside, that there would be an open primary. Pelosi telling the Times she has spoken with Kamala Harris and believes a competitive primary could have helped the vice president. I think she would have done well in that and been stronger going forward. But we don't know that. That didn't happen.
A powerful suicide blast at a train station in southwestern Pakistan, killing at least 24, including soldiers and civilians. The Biden administration will, for the first time, allow a small number of U.S. defense contractors to enter Ukraine to help repair and maintain weapons and equipment sent by America. U.S. officials say certain systems require specific technical expertise. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the news staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, bye. Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. New CDC data shows 3 out of every 4 high school students across the country say they've experienced at least one adverse childhood event. That can include violence in the home, parents separating, and any kind of abuse. Scientists are learning that these events can be connected to substance use disorders and even chronic illness or autoimmune problems. Nadia Ramlagan reports.
Research shows these experiences, called ACEs, can alter a child's brain chemistry and produce a prolonged, sometimes lifelong, toxic stress response. Licensed psychologist and member of Kentucky's Bounce Coalition, Joe Barjone.
We're seeing some of the same kinds of patterns, that increased sense of loneliness, isolation in our youth, increased levels of suicide ideation, exposure to violence, exposure to adverse childhood experiences.
Experiencing at least one ACE as a child is linked to having alcohol and substance use problems as an adult, as well as chronic diseases such as diabetes and obesity. Childhood trauma costs states. According to the National Governors Association, adults with ACEs can lead to billions of dollars in healthcare costs and lost productivity. Barjone adds schools can help address the youth and mental health crisis by cultivating a sense of belonging and connectedness, as well as increasing suicide prevention programs.
Promoting mental health awareness, teaching kids around social-emotional learning and dealing with their emotions in an effective way, increase mental health services.
The most recent data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services is only from 2018 to 19.
but it shows nearly 40% of Wisconsin kids had at least one adverse childhood experience. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has its Trauma Sensitive Schools Initiative, which helps educators help kids in public school districts. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, highs in the mid-50s. Some showers tonight with a low of 46. Showers and 53 for Sunday. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a little breezy, lows around 45. For Monday, mostly sunny, 53, and 50 for Tuesday.
It's 39 at our studios.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we're all about Madison as I welcome comedian Johnny Beaner back to the show, and then WMDX morning show radio legends John Peterson and Gordy Young join the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Happy to have us joining you for an extra special issue. This one salutes our veterans. Our cover story focuses on a man who served his country cooking for some of the finest military minds. We also have supporting military members who simply need to get home and learning about various programs offering music to veterans as a healing message. Melissa Kay tells us about a group that works tirelessly to create quilts for veterans, and Conrad Krieger looks at Hua. Amanda Nimmer helps us de-stress and recenter after one of the most anxiety-filled weeks ever. And Brittany Merlot tells us how we can help meteorologists. Plus, of course, Pete Schwabba and our classic cinema pick of the week. Let's open up this issue with a special Wisconsin-based project. Though fairly new, it's helping military members around the world. And there's a very personal story behind it. Terry Barr is here to tell us more. Terry?
Lisa, it's all about a ticket home. And for many young military members, it means everything. Coming home for a wedding, the holidays, a sick parent or grandparent. The Ben Jackson Foundation, and the person leading it is Ben's dad, Larry. I talked with him about the special reason behind this project.
Our mission is really about reuniting military families. And we do that by helping young people in the military travel home to see their family, to see their friends and loved ones when they're stationed somewhere across the country or across the globe. We help them by essentially being able to afford that ticket. A lot of times they're 18, 19, 20, just getting started. They can get some time off from work for the military, or they can get the leave. But many times they just can't afford to get that $2,000 ticket home from Okinawa or Japan or Germany and see their family. So that's what we're about, helping reunite military families. And we do that by making sure money's not a reason why people can't come back.
Oh, that's incredible. And I know I was reading on your website about the cost. And I think for anybody who flies, we know it can be expensive, but like you're talking about, in some cases, these are young men and women who are really just getting started. The idea of money can be such a big issue. Why did you focus on this particular part of the ticket home?
Our son, Ben, who the foundation's named after, graduated from high school in 2016, and then he went into the Air Force. After going through some school, basic training in school in Texas, he ended up going to Misawa, Japan. At one point, he said, "Hey, I'd like to come home and surprise everybody for a visit. Could you help me with a ticket?" Because a ticket from Japan was over $2,000 to get all the way back. So I'd been traveling for work quite a bit. So I had the airline miles to make that happen and get him a ticket. And when he was home, he told us that a lot of his friends were jealous because they just couldn't afford that ticket back. That didn't surprise me a whole lot, I guess, because I'm a veteran myself. So I understood that it can be expensive and they don't necessarily make a lot of money. Anyway, he went back to Japan, and about 6 weeks after that, we were notified that he was killed in an accident on base. So as a family, my wife and I our daughter Emma and our son Matthew were talking about what to do. And Matthew's idea was, you know, Ben got to come home. We should help other people like him do that too. And we thought that was a great idea, and started the Ben Jackson Foundation with the purpose of making sure that people that wanted to come home could afford it and help them with their travel expenses.
What does that mean for that person to be able to get home? How special is that?
Give them a mental health break, give them a little bit of a refresh.
Yeah.
And kind of build up their reserves of strength to go back and do what they're doing.
And Jackson tells me he's surprised by the number of people who don't realize members of the military typically have to pay for their own way home. Luckily, his foundation has raised enough money to fly more than 500 military members home in just the last couple of years. I'm Terry Barr.
My dearest son, it's almost June. I hope this letter catches up with you and finds you well.
Helping veterans throughout the state of Wisconsin, WHOA's main issue is focusing on suicide awareness for veterans. New Wisco Weekend's Conrad Krieger reports.
Chelsea Koken from WHOA talks how the community and WHOA combat veterans suicide awareness.
I have been with the organization since 2014. My husband was actually one of the two co-founders back in 2013. And, you know, when they started this organization to help, it wasn't just we want to make a difference in the community. It was that, but they knew people around them and themselves that were struggling, right? And to have that perspective of two guys just in it who can speak to all of these things are available, but it doesn't feel exactly right on what we need. And that whole piece is being proactive and kind of getting ahead of it. You know, we're not suicide crisis prevention centers. There are those. They are wonderful. We want to start to build a community around people before they're getting to a place where they're not okay.
Akokan shares why veterans should ask for help when needed. And now WHOA can be a resource.
We pride ourselves on, you know, being humans behind it all and trying to make it work. So you're not who you used to be. You're having too many bad days, all of those things. And that's a piece that we love to kind of take a point on, too, is we can talk with the families. If the families need the help, you know, we can share the resources so that they can bring them to them when they're ready. And the numbers, there's missions of Mission 22 and those 22 veterans that we lose each day to suicide. You know, that's a number that was put out and is still very much a mission that people go after. And it's, you know, all the same mission. And so we have always followed the VA's report on statistics.
When WHOA was started, the two founders wanted to make a big difference in veteran suicide awareness. And one of the many ways they have helped with this is an event called the Veteran Suicide Awareness March.
When WHOA started in 2013, the two people that started it, they wanted to just make a difference and help veterans, right? So they were looking around at what could they do to raise funds, and this event is what happened. So in 2013 at Stadium View, they had 71 people show up, and it was like $11,000 or $13,000 that they raised, and that led to our first skydiving
you
event.
Raised,
so,
wow.
I mean, and it just shows, and now we've grown to almost 1,000 people. Over 1,000 people, actually. And last year we raised, after our expenses, $235,000. Obviously, this event is not only about what it is, veteran suicide awareness, but it's bringing the community together to show support for the families who have lost someone, to someone who struggled on their own with those thoughts, and obviously then raise funds, but share resources as well. We'll have 20 plus different organizations along with ours there saying, here's what we have to help you. A part of our opening ceremony for each year since we've started is a speaker who has been touched by veteran suicide, whether it's their son, brother, you know, they share how they probably didn't see it coming. It's the saddest, scariest part.
That was Chelsea Koken, who joined Mino and the Mayor. Mornings on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
I was just out of the service, thumbing through the classifieds, when an ad that said old Chevy somehow caught my eye. The lady didn't know the year or even if it ran, but I had that $1,000 in my hand.
This is New Wisco Weekend on 98.3 WISS and 97.9 WGBW.
To say this has been an interesting week is an understatement. To say that this has been a stress-filled week is an understatement. Our Amanda Nimmer joins us now with commentary on how you can de-stress and recenter.
Man, it's...
It's been a long week. Like, one of those weeks where it just feels like it was so much more than 7 days. 24 hours in a day? No, it felt more like 36. Oh, and I'm so glad that it's over, and I hope you guys do too. But we really need to just step back and take a break. And I'm going to walk you through one of the best ways to do this, because we need reset. We need to just breathe, take a moment, reset the blocks, and get back to hopefully a little bit mentally healthier sounding you. So what I would like you to do is to turn the electronics off, put down your phone, take off your smartwatch, step away from the outlets, the media, your friends, your family. Step away and either go outside, preferably, or step out of the room that you're in and look around. Now, don't just scan real quick. I mean, like, actually look. Like, you kind of, it's going to kind of feel like your eyes are focusing on the real world for the first time. I'm not saying we're in a matrix. We could be in a matrix. But actually look around. Observe your surroundings real time right in front of you. And then go through all the senses. There's 5 of them. Hear what's around you. Smell the room around you, the outdoors around you. Feel the wind on your skin or touch a few books or shelves. And, you know, taste, sure, lick a few things if you must. Recenter yourself back into the reality that is your life, directly in front of you, live in 4D, and stay there for a while. Because disconnecting completely like that is going to honestly make you feel better. Now, this is actually a variation of a tactic people use to get out of an anxiety attack or a panic attack. Another way to do this is to look around the room and find 5 things that you can touch that might be fuzzy, 3 things that are red, 3 things that have a scent to them, and then you have to describe what the scent is. You can do that too, but in my opinion, and that's what this is my opinion, you have 3 minutes of it every weekend. The action of getting up and getting out, putting all these things down, removing yourself from the environment you're in and into a different room even, is going to be so much more impactful than just sitting and looking around. Because it's a bold action. It's a bigger action. And sometimes we need those just to remember the world can be a lot smaller if you put your phone and social media down, step away from the problem for a bit, recenter, refocus. And remember that we are only human. It's been a long week. It's been a long year. And we all deserve a moment. You've earned it. And speaking of deserving and earning, take a moment to call your loved one that has served in the military, both now and in the past. And just let them know you're thinking of them. You love them. Maybe you look up to them. And if you want, say thanks. So happy Veterans Day. Happy You Deserve a Break Day. And from New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer. And there you go.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at them bright and early, I'm all business in my...
When we come back, John Mino has a D-Day remembrance and Brittany Merlot on how you can help meteorologists. But first, President Joe Biden just proclaimed 2024 as the 70th year that we're officially recognizing Veterans Day on November 11th. He wrote in part, quote, "Our military is the spine of our nation and their families the courageous heart." This is New Wisco Weekend.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
General Douglas MacArthur once said, "Duty, honor, country." Those three hallowed words reverently dictate what you ought to be, what you can be, what you will be. This Veterans Day salute, made possible by Olson Legal Group. Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. Their expertise in real estate law and estate planning will ensure all of your bases are covered. Call Olson Legal Group today, 920-230-7020. That's 920-230-7020.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media radio stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, our cover story for this issue. But first, Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
Is there something about your living room that really ties it together? This week's movie is The Big Lebowski. The main character of the film is actually not The Big Lebowski, but a man who shares his name called Jeffrey Lebowski. But he refers to himself as The Dude. The Dude is a former roadie, big-time stoner, and avid bowler who is mistaken for The Big Lebowski. Due to the case of mistaken identity, the dude is out his living room rug, which he feels really tied the room together, man. Lebowski reluctantly enlists the help of his friends and bowling teammates, Donnie and Walter, in an effort to solve the caper. The dude finds out that the men who ruined his rug were actually looking for the Big Lebowski, who the dude visits in an effort to make things right or be compensated for his missing rug. The two Lebowskis could not be more different.
Are you employed, Mr. Lebowski?
Let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? His dudeness or duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Are you employed, sir?
Employed?
You don't go out looking for a job dressed like that, do you? On a weekday?
What day is this?
Well, I do work, sir. So if you don't mind...
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand, you know? This aggression will not stand, man.
The Big Lebowski is the creation of the legendary Coen brothers. They thought using the film The Big Sleep would be a good blueprint, but with an aging hippie as the main character instead of Humphrey Bogart's Philip Marlowe. The setting of the non-glamorous side of Los Angeles combined with a soundtrack that includes Bob Dylan, Creedence Clearwater, and the Eagles, and some great old prairie tunes gives the film an engaging hypnotic aesthetic, as does the narration and great cameo by Sam Elliott. You also can't beat the Coen brothers' unique dialogue, which is expertly delivered by actors Jeff Bridges as the dude, Steve Buscemi as Donnie, and John Goodman as the crazy Walter. Thanks to the help from Walter, the dude accepts reluctantly, he makes the caper more complicated with his every move, and it's glorious. Julianne Moore is also hilarious as the Big Lebowski's daughter Maude. You know a film has a lasting impression when they actually have something called Lebowski Fest every year. The Big Lebowski is a critic's darling, quirky, and a really fun world, and it's this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabba.
It was July hot in Georgia in 1942. All the men were off to war and the women had nothing to do.
One thing all veterans have truly had to deal with is the weather. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains how the entire community can help our meteorologists and scientists better understand storms.
Have you ever heard of COCORAS? Here, I'll say it again. COCORAS. Because there are hundreds of them all around you in the Fox Valley and located all throughout the state, even the country. It's a unique, nonprofit, community-based network of volunteers of all ages and backgrounds working together to measure and map precipitation. COCORAS is an acronym for the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network. And you can be a part of it. It's a community project. Everyone can help, young, old, and in between. The only requirements are enthusiasm for watching and reporting weather conditions and a desire to learn more about how weather can affect and impact our lives. The network originated with the Colorado Climate Center at Colorado State University in 1998. They just celebrated 25 years last year. They have over 26,000 active observers in the United States, Canada, Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, Guam, and the Bahamas. It's truly a remarkable effort. You know the saying, rain doesn't fall the same on all. It really proves to be true. I mean, you've seen it before. You've gotten rain in your neighborhood, and then a few blocks away, not a drop has fallen. So each time a rain, hail, or snowstorm crosses your area, volunteers take measurements of precipitation from as many locations as possible. These precip reports are then recorded. Data is then displayed and organized for many people to analyze and apply to daily situations ranging from water resource analysis to severe storm warnings. So by volunteering to be a weather observer, you can help increase the density of precipitation data that's available throughout the area. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, and the National Science Foundation, NSF, sponsor CocoRoz. And one of the neat things about participating in this network is that you've made an important contribution that helps others. By providing your daily observation, you help to fill in a piece of the weather puzzle that affects many across the area. Complimentary training is provided, and sometimes there's field trips, special speakers, picnics, potluck dinners, and photography contests are all a part of it too. So tell a friend or neighbor about this exciting grassroots effort of citizens measuring precipitation right in their own backyards. It's easy to join, takes only 5 minutes a day, and it's a fun way to learn about this wonderful natural resource that falls from the sky. These observations continue to give scientists an ever clearer picture of where and how much precipitation falls throughout our communities. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
John Mino is not just half of Mino and the Mayor on WISS and WGBW. He's also an author, and many of his books focus on veterans. Here's John Mino reading a D-Day remembrance from one of those veterans.
The green light coming on was a signal to stand up and hook up. You check the equipment of the guy ahead of you and yell out, "Okay!" Then before you know it, you're standing in the door and it's your turn. I didn't have any trouble going out. You didn't have time to think about it. Right away, you looked up, saw that the chute was open. Then you looked down and you saw the Germans shooting up at you. You kept thinking, "Just let me get to the ground. Let me have a chance to fight back. Don't let me get shot hanging in the air." Well, it didn't take very long to get down, which was probably a good thing. I smashed into the ground pretty hard, banged up my knee and ankle, but other than that, I was okay. I didn't know where I was, and I didn't see anybody else around me. All of a sudden, a flare went up, and it was as bright as daylight. I saw these 5 cows grazing in the pasture, just standing there grazing like nothing was going on. They came walking over towards me, nosing around the way cows do, walked right up to where I was laying, just sniffing and slopping, checking me out. Well, the Germans had 2 machine guns set up covering that field, and all of a sudden they let loose. They had these tracers, and all you could see was a stream of light crisscrossing that field about 2 feet high. You ever wonder how low you can make yourself go? I couldn't have gotten any lower without digging a hole. I'll tell you that. Well, those poor cows took the brunt of it. Those machine guns kept going back and forth over the top of me, just slaughtering those poor cows. They were bellowing and moaning. One of the cows standing next to my parachute got cut up and went down between me and the guns. That gave me a little protection. Once they slowed down a little, I crawled to a hedgerow. I saw the Germans walk over to where I'd been. I could hear them talking. I'm pretty sure they were saying, "He's gone, he's gone." We were going to knock out anything that was blocking the causeways. Some of the Germans we ran into were actually heading back from the beaches. I think once it got light, they could see all the ships out there in the water and how many troops were coming ashore and decided it was hopeless. But you know, nothing really worked out the way it was planned. From the time we hit the ground, it was chaos. You had to find a way to knock them out of the causeway any way you could, with anything you had. Same thing for the Germans. They had these big defense plans, but it just came down to one bunch of guys running around trying to kill a different bunch of guys. That's just the way it was. Orville Collins, 101st Airborne, Denmark, Wisconsin.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, a group that makes quilts for veterans. But first, the census shows Wisconsin is currently home to more than 330,000 veterans. Close to 25,000 call Northeast Wisconsin home. We'll be right back.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Iran today denying involvement in a plot to assassinate U.S. officials, calling any allegations baseless and rejected. This as federal prosecutors here have charged an Iranian national in a murder-for-hire scheme targeting President-elect Donald Trump. Authorities say the plot was linked to Tehran's paramilitary forces. Subsiding winds helping 2,000 firefighters in Southern California make progress against a wildfire that scorched over 20,000 acres, destroyed over 200 structures since Wednesday. Joey Parrish lost his house in the fire, and he's now sifting through the ashes.
The things that we knew were there, like there was a motorcycle in the garage, no sign of it anywhere. You know, just so many things like that just gone.
For the first time after a devastating fire 5 years ago, the bells of Notre Dame Cathedral were heard throughout Paris again. The landmark is set to reopen to the public next month with a weekend of ceremonies starting December 7th. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks lose in New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks fell behind early and lost to the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, 116-94. Doc Rivers on what he was most disappointed in.
I would say just the offensive rebounds. You know, early on, I thought, you know, the first 8 minutes, we got stops on every possession, and then they got the ball back. I think they had 8 offensive rebounds in the first 9 minutes of the game. You know, they kept moving the ball. Then they shoot. They get a rebound. They get another rebound. And now we're walking the ball up the floor, playing slow basketball.
The Bucks will host the Celtics tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock. College hoops, number 18th ranked Marquette with an 82-63 win over the George Mason Patriots. Boys high school volleyball, Sussex Hamilton won the state title last night in 5 sets over Middleton. Tonight, the Hamilton girls team faces Divine Savior Holy Angels for the championship, 7:30 at the Rest Center in Green Bay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, highs in the mid-50s. Some showers tonight with a low of 46. Showers in 53 for Sunday. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a little breezy, lows around 45. For Monday, mostly sunny, 53, and 50 for Tuesday. Right now, 40 degrees.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah. Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
President Ronald Reagan said, "We're blessed with the opportunity to stand for something, for liberty and freedom and fairness. And these are things worth fighting for, worth devoting our lives to, and we have good reason to be hopeful and optimistic." Happy Veterans Day from Fun Pros. Fun Pros Event Planning Services has Wisconsin's best team-building activities and the most innovative interactive games. For your next company meeting, holiday party, or family get-together, call Fun Pros 920-886-3594.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Buddy Minute and an answer to the question, how often should I take my car in to get it serviced? As somebody who's worked on cars and knows a little bit about them, I admit that my instincts here are 100% wrong. I always want to say, oh, I'll just know when it's time. I'll feel it. But that's pretty hard to make a plan or a budget around. And my husband has made an honest car owner out of me by scheduling our maintenance on the calendar according to the book that everybody has and nobody reads, the manual in your glove compartment. Yep, even the motorheads over at cartalk.com, remember that old Car Talk radio show that was one of my favorites, you know, with Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers? They say that taking your car in on the schedule dictated by the people who made it is the best way to keep it in shape. So grab that manual, and if you want more tips on saving, head over to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look back at the weekend happenings and talk about Veterans Day 2024. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I knew a man called him Sandy Kane. You folks even knew his name. But a hero, yes, was he.
This is New Wisco Weekend. For WISS and WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time for our cover story. Tom Allen Swearingen is a chef at Pine Hills Golf and Supper Club. He got his start in the military when he was stationed at the Pentagon. He appeared on Civic Media's Mino and the Mayor show recently. Here's a part of that interview with Jim Schmidt and John Mino.
You were the chef in the military, and people might think grub food, but not you.
But at the White House, right, even?
Pentagon.
And when the VIPs would come out to...
Almost, yeah. I joined the Air Force to travel the world, and the world came to see me.
That's awesome.
So how was it with hosting people, like you said, when out in Kuwait, when the VIPs would show up? I mean, did he get you the right food, or was it like, were you scrambling? How was it cooking
Air
for those
Force
people?
Air Force eats pretty well,
Air Force
right?
eats well, yeah. So Al Jaber, Kuwait. Yeah. So we had... Well, a couple of different places. So steak and lobster every Thursday night. That's how the Air Force rolls. So one of the larger bases Al Udeid Air Force Base in Qatar. 10,000 people, steak and lobster every Thursday night.
Wow. Now, did you have that when you went over there?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. I mean, you guys really, we were the JCOC, the Joint Civilian Orientation Corps. I don't know if you were the chef then, but you guys really put on a great meal and great tour, everything about it. And tell me about the Pentagon. How was it? Yeah. Were they nice to you? I mean, are they picky eaters?
Actually, when you're in the Pentagon, you don't wear a military uniform. So because I'm working for the boss, the SecDef. So it's a butler.
Who's the boss?
It was the last one I worked for was William Cohen, Secretary of Defense.
Wow.
So we're there cooking just for the Secretary of Defense's office, undersecretaries. So it'd be like the professors from Yale and Harvard and that gets invited in there. General Colin Powell was there when I was there.
Wow.
So I was cooking bacon cheeseburgers for General Colin Powell on a day.
No kidding.
Monday through Friday. So that was kind of a neat thing. But so you're walking all throughout the Pentagon. You don't have to salute a single person. So that was kind of as an E4. So I was 20.
Sergeant, sort of.
I was 22 years old, 21 years old, walking around. And everything I'm doing is for the Secretary of Defense. So everybody's bosses.
How did you get that job? I mean, that's got to be one of the most.
So I was at Langley Air Force Base, 19 years old, Airman of the Year.
Which is in Washington, pretty close, right? Maryland?
Yeah. Right. Well, just south of Washington,
D.C. Virginia.
So by Virginia Beach.
That's the headquarters of like the
Air Combat Command.
Yeah, everything. You know?
So I was Airman of the Year of Air Combat Command. And then they got 19 years old, almost 20, part of the incentives for Airman of the Year, got to fly an F-15.
Wow.
Not even 20 years old, flying an F-15. O'Connell Falls.
Wow.
Grew up in O'Connell Falls.
Wow. And you're 19, 20 years old doing this stuff?
And I got to fly an F-15. So the guy, a bet that goes on by the pilots. How quick can you make your co-pilot sick?
Make him barf, right?
Yeah, it did not take him long, and they didn't want that flight suit back.
That's incredible.
So I basically met, it wasn't more of what I knew, it's who I knew. So Air Combat Command, my bosses knew a lot of people in the Pentagon. So when they went, I'm like, hey, how about me?
So had you had experience growing up in O'Connell Falls in a restaurant or something? I mean, how did
We own the Falls family restaurant.
Got
so most of the people I was working around came in for college money. And essentially, some wanted to cook, some of them didn't care. And I ran circles around them. So
it was your passion.
Yeah, it was easy for me. It came easy. So I didn't even need a tech school to learn how to do what I was doing in the military.
Wow.
My mom made me.
That's phenomenal.
I think it's really cool that Colin Powell liked his bacon cheeseburger.
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah.
Next time he comes here, you got to bring his bacon cheeseburger. Exactly the way you did it for Colin Powell.
But I bet you these guys all had their little niches, right? Or was it were they prima donnas, or were they good to you?
So actually the undersecretaries, the people that were sitting in the offices, they were sweet people. One time I brought it was during the inauguration, President Clinton's inauguration. Mm-hmm. So the Secretary of Defense is going to it, asked for a Diet Coke or a Coke to go up to his office. I'm bringing it up there. He knew my first name. That's that's how nice these people were.
Wow.
The people that got uptight was the sergeant major I worked for.
They just have to show their power sometimes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was going to
you're probably getting too much credit.
Yeah,
you
know? I was a young airman working for the Army. That was even a big culture shock right there.
Wow. So did you serve the president at the time?
Actually, at that time, so he's coming in for a night meal.
Okay.
I did all the prep for it, and because of Secret Service, they limited the staff. So all the prep was there. So the young guys probably need to go away.
Step aside.
Yeah.
Wow.
But actually, when William Cohen went into office, President Clinton came by. We had a lobster boil right on the river entrance of the Pentagon. So they had a bonfire right on the you can't do that now.
No, right?
Well, that's cool. How was the supply chain? Like, did you get what you needed, or I would think that was a high priority for them, right? To get the right food and fresh food?
The one thing that's different with being overseas and being stateside, when you're at a deployed location, no food cost. We ran dining facilities 24 hours a day. If you were hungry, you came in. So that's the big thing. They had absolutely, in the 2000s, early 2000s, was not a problem to get food.
You say no food cost, so a budget thing wasn't... over your head.
That's how you do steak and lobsters every Thursday night.
What? The Air Force takes pride in that.
Oh, absolutely.
When people make fun of the Air Force, but the Air Force, darn right we had lobster.
Yeah. We had a Patriot missile site in Kuwait, and they got the young soldiers out there got in trouble they damaged a Humvee, injured a guy, sent him back to Germany. They were told, you guys can look at the Air Force dining facility, but you're going to eat out by your missiles.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Wow.
That was their punishment for a month.
So how many years were you in?
20 years.
20 years. That's 20 phenomenal. Years. And what did you end up as?
I'm a retired master sergeant.
What do you do now?
So I work at a school district. That's my main gig. Farthest thing in the world that I thought I'd be from, so I do school nutrition.
Oh, that's awesome. Nice.
And then Pine Hills is, you can only serve school nutrition so much, and I like to do the fancy tomato roses and different things on plates, so I do a part-time job with Pine Hills.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic.
Hey, out of the military, 20 years, you've done a lot. I mean, really, from the Pentagon to Kuwait, a favorite job or anything you'd recommend to a kid I think every kid would like to probably be a chef like you and serve that. I mean, but your career path was more on kind of who you knew, right? Or
you
still had to have the skills.
Well, so when you get in there, and that's like most jobs, it was mostly attitude, you know. It came in, I was always, like, we go in at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, you show up early. If you're 15 minutes early, you're 15 minutes late.
Wow. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Why did you choose Air Force?
My dad was drafted into Vietnam. So he was Army. He goes, when we were talking about when I was in high school, where I'm going to go, he goes, he didn't care for the draft and, because he only did 18 months, his 2 years back. And then he goes, if you're going to go, just don't choose the Army.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he didn't like his treatment.
There's a few people that I don't know what you're going to do, but I can tell you what you shouldn't do, you know, like your dad. But out of all the jobs you had in the military, what did you like the best?
I would say, so my last station was, I retired out of Madison, the 115th. So so the Wisconsin units that I worked in were unbelievable.
We're talking how you cook for president, generals, students. Do you have a favorite?
National Defense?
I mean, but
favorite group?
Not a favorite group.
Type of food?
I guess I'd like to know a favorite group now that you say that. But is there something you really like to cook?
What do you hang your hat on?
Yeah.
Before I came to Green Bay, is a sports bar town.
Yeah.
Burgers.
Let's be honest.
You know, that's what we have here. I was actually a confectionery artist. So cakes, wedding cakes. For the SecDef's Christmas party, I did a 7-foot-long gingerbread city. Little ice skating rink in the center.
Oh,
my God. Wobby Lake Lodge, I did a huge gingerbread house with stained glass windows out of Jolly Ranchers, and it looked awesome.
What are you doing this Christmas?
Swearin' Jim was a guest of Mino and the Mayor, airing weekdays from 6 until 9 a.m. at 98.3 WISS and 97.9 WGBW.
Where have all the the flowers gone. Long time passing, where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago.
There's a group in Wisconsin Rapids devoted to making quilts for veterans. Melissa Kay reports.
The Material Girls Quilting Club in Wisconsin Rapids have participated with Quilts of Valor since 2016. The Quilts of Valor Foundation has volunteers around the country who donate their time and materials to make healing quilts for veterans. I spoke with several members of the club in May of last year before the Quilts of Valor ceremony where they honored 45 women veterans.
Well, what we do is we actually assemble kits, and then our membership takes a kit home and they either sew it by themselves or they sew it with friends, and then they bring the top back. And then we take and cut batting and the backing, and then it goes into it's almost like a holding pattern at an airport. And then it goes to Lori, and Lori takes, and then she finds someone to do the long arming. And then it comes back, and then another member will take it home, and they'll put the binding on. So there's a lot of opportunities to do volunteer work without having to do the whole thing start to finish. The Quilts of Valor program it's in its 21st year. So, and it started with Catherine Roberts.
Yep.
And the first quilt that was awarded was to a soldier from Minnesota at Walter Reed Hospital.
Over in D.C.?
In D.C., yep.
Wow. That's really something. And do each one of you want to tell me what your favorite part of being involved in this program?
I think it's the award ceremony day, I think, is the favorite part. You walk away. Every experience is different. Every recipient has a different
reaction.
We've talked to World War II vets. I enjoy the interviewing. I don't enjoy writing the interviews, but I enjoy interviewing. and just, you know, everybody's personal story as to what they did in service. And we hear a lot, I don't deserve a award. I don't deserve a quilt. I wasn't in a war. But it takes everybody to make it function, and they deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was telling me a couple days ago that she knew of a female, because I was talking about her presentation coming up, and she said, well, she didn't deserve a award because she was just a nurse. I'm like, you were just a nurse in a war, and you don't deserve a Quilt of Valor. Oh, boy. I mean, you want to talk, everybody that went, like you said, deserves it.
Yeah.
They gave of their time, their self, their family. They deserve a Quilt of Valor.
You can find out how to donate at QOVF.org. I'm Melissa Kay for New Wisco Weekends.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute, we'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our head. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole.
Coming up, how music is helping members of the military. First, did you know that there is a Veterans Day moment of silence? President Barack Obama signed the act in 2016. It orders silence at 1:11 p.m. our time on November 11th. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. Often we talk about the healing power you can find in music, and there's a growing number of programs centered around military veterans sharing their stories through music. One is called Warrior Songs. Terry Barr joins musician Kelsey Miles in studio to learn more about the project, and we get to hear a song written for it.
It's a really cool project. It's by a nonprofit organization, and it's really using music to facilitate the healing of veterans, and in particular for female veterans after their service.
Why do you think tying music into veterans and their lives moving forward, how does that make a difference for them?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, and I can't speak from experience, but just from the testimonials that I was given to help with the songwriting process and the people I've talked to, you know, music is just a way to really kind of organize things that have happened in your head and to project them in a way that helps you come to terms with things or to make you feel connected to maybe others who have felt that way. So I think music in general makes us feel that way. But in particular for this case, it sounds like it was really helpful for a lot of veterans to have this. I mean, the main reason I got into music was because I was going through a hard time and music kind of found me.
Do you feel that this CD can touch just about any person if they're going through a tough time?
I think so. I think that there's a lot of things that are relevant to a lot of different people. I mean, this was based off of female veteran testimonials, yeah. So it really is geared more towards that. But I think it reaches even more than just female veterans, veterans in general. And I think a lot of people would appreciate to hear some of these songs. Yeah. All right, this song is called Sacrifice Ignored. I got testimonials from 5 different female veterans.
Oh, wow.
And the theme on all of their testimonials was that they felt like after their service, some people disrespected what they had done and maybe didn't give them the accolades that they deserved. So it's called Sacrifice Ignored. One Sunday afternoon, I was heading out of the grocery store. I bought some food for the family I love and adore. Smiling away, cause I was catching up on those memories I missed while I was at war. When a middle-aged man walked my way, and I pointed at the sticker on the back of my car. And he looked me in the eyes and said, ma'am, I want to thank your husband for his service and his time. Oh, not again. He ain't seen a soldier like me. Oh, was my sacrifice. Yeah, was my sacrifice. And oh, hey, was my sacrifice. All in my grin began to fade, and I tried to explain that no, it wasn't my husband. And the man's grin grew larger as he guessed it was my brother, or my uncle, or my father. Well, patience came over me, and I told him it was me, and I was proud to say I served my country. Oh, and the grin began to fade, and he looked the other way, confused by the truth of my story. He ain't seen a soldier like me.
maybe he didn't want to believe. Oh, was my hey, sacrifice, hey, was my sacrifice, no, hey, was my hey, sacrifice, my sacrifice, no. Oh, and inside my head I thought, oh no, not again. But the man gave me one more surprise. He apologized and said, thank you for your time. And then he turned and he walked away. And the groceries that I held grew heavy, and I felt like my sacrifice was ignored. And I wonder how many more are fighting this new war in the country they made sacrifices for. He ain't seen a soldier like me. Why is it so hard for people to see? Hey, was my yeah, sacrifice? Hey, was my sacrifice? No, hey, was my sacrifice? Was my sacrifice, my sacrifice, oh, hey, was my, oh, sacrifice, hey, my sacrifice, my sacrifice, my sacrifice won't be ignored.
Wow. Wow. I got to ask you the songwriting process then.
Yeah.
You get these testimonials, and five of them, you write one song from these five testimonials. How in the world did yeah. you pull that together with that? I mean, that song is incredible.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. So I read five of them, okay. and I saw this common theme, right, in what was going on. And a lot of it was taken from one of them mainly about this story as she went to the grocery store. And I embellished, try to make this story, just flow a little better. But, she just said she went to the grocery store and she had a sticker on the back of her car. And a middle-aged man came out and said, hey, I just want to thank your husband, and she just said, and she wrote, and then in line she said, I felt like my sacrifice was ignored. And I was like, that's the song. In part of the song where I'm writing about their perspective, it was based off of all the other testimonials. So kind of the idea of the story, came from her testimonial of it actually happening to her. And then the perspective of talking about it in the song, of talking about how they felt, came kind of from just what the women were writing about, how they felt when things like that have happened to them.
Have they heard the song?
Yeah, so they sent them out to the people that got testimonials, and didn't get much feedback, but they liked it and they put it on the first track for the album. So I don't know.
So it kicks off the album.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was really honored though to be able to write this, and I hope I hope that I did it justice, because that topic is, I've never experienced that because I'm not a veteran, but I hope I relayed that message and was able to be their voice in music. The best I could. I was just so honored to be asked to do. How cool, right? To take someone's story and then to turn it into something. So I was really honored to do that.
You can find more music written with and for veterans at warriorsongs.org. Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend and our Veterans Day issue. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels. Featuring stories by Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Melissa Kay, Pete Schwaba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. This week we had special appearances by John Mino and Jim Schmidt. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, it's not all doom and gloom. Jody Habish-Sinikin, Wisconsin's 8th Senate District. She won. Plus, Harvey K. will talk about what happened and what comes next. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
In the words of actor Christopher Reeve, a hero is an ordinary individual who finds the strength to persevere and endure in spite of overwhelming obstacles. This Veterans Day, we give thanks to our members of the United States military, past and present, who've defended our freedom. This message brought to you by C. McPhee Realty. Ready to sell your home? List with Chris McFetridge. It's that simple. Call C. McPhee Realty at 920-642-0980. 920-642-0980.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.